Ask any group of teachers why students struggle in school, and you'll hear familiar refrains. Boring content, irrelevant material, uninspiring instruction. But here's the uncomfortable truth. Our brains aren't wired for the kind of sustained thinking that school demands. Evolution designed our minds for efficiency, not intellectual exploration. We're hardwired to avoid mental effort whenever possible, defaulting to shortcuts and familiar patterns instead of wrestling with new ideas. This fundamental mismatch between how our brains want to work and what education requires explains why even passionate teachers sometimes watch students mentally check out. Your brain consumes roughly 20% of your body's energy, despite representing only 2% of your weight. This biological expense makes thinking remarkably costly, so our minds evolved sophisticated strategies to conserve resources. We navigate familiar routes on autopilot, perform complex tasks without conscious attention, and rely heavily on established patterns rather than creative problem solving. Consider the classic candle problem. Attach a candle to a wall using only matches and a box of tacks. Most people struggle because the solution requires seeing the box as a platform rather than just a container, a mental leap our efficiency-obsessed brains resist. We're trapped by functional fixedness, seeing objects only in their conventional roles because breaking these patterns demands cognitive effort we're programmed to avoid. Yet paradoxically, we voluntarily tackle crossword puzzles, binge-watch complex documentaries, and choose intellectually demanding careers. Why? Because successful thinking triggers pleasure centers in our brains, releasing dopamine similar to eating delicious food or connecting with friends. The catch is calibration. Problems must land in our sweet spot, challenging enough to feel satisfying, but not so difficult they seem hopeless. When students consistently face work outside this zone, school becomes a grinding chore rather than an engaging challenge. Understanding this cognitive reality changes everything about how we approach teaching and learning. The challenge isn't making content fun or relevant, it's designing experiences that work with our brain's natural tendencies rather than against them. Many educators champion critical thinking over mere memorization, arguing Google makes facts obsolete. But comprehension depends on background knowledge filling gaps writers leave. A revealing study showed struggling readers who knew baseball comprehended baseball passages better than skilled readers lacking that knowledge. Knowledge enables chunking, grouping information into meaningful patterns, consuming less mental space. This explains the fourth grade slump, where underprivileged children read adequately through third grade, but fall behind when tests shift from decoding to comprehension. Knowledge creates hooks for new information. Reading about chiffon cakes using oil instead of butter sticks because your existing cake knowledge provides mental scaffolding. This creates a rich get richer effect. The more you know, the easier learning becomes. Someone retaining 10% of new information versus 9% seems trivial, but over time, this gap widens exponentially. Despite Einstein's claim that imagination trumps knowledge, cognitive science reveals the opposite. Knowledge is prerequisite for creativity and problem solving. Students remember jokes, but forget lessons, because memory is the residue of thought. We remember what we think about, not what we're told to remember. Thinking about a penny's value thousands of times doesn't help us recall its appearance because we never actually thought about how it looks. Making content relevant to student interests proves surprisingly ineffective. What matters is how teachers connect through humor, warmth, storytelling, or showmanship combined with well-organized lessons. Student evaluations boil down to two factors: whether the teacher seems likable, and whether the class is coherently structured. Our minds are attuned to stories following the four C's: causality, events connect logically; conflict, characters pursue goals but face obstacles; complications, subproblems emerge; and character, revealed through action. Even mathematics can employ story structures, introducing Z-scores by establishing familiar coin flips, building to the central conflict of determining probability, then resolving through the Z-score solution. The Hollywood formula applies. Spend substantial time establishing the central question before providing answers. Material becomes meaningful only when students first understand the problem it solves. Abstraction, applying classroom learning to new contexts, is education's goal, yet our minds naturally prefer concrete examples over abstract concepts. We understand new ideas by relating them to familiar ones, which explains why analogies work. Explaining Ohm's law, I equals V over R, becomes clearer when compared to water flowing through pipes, where pressure represents voltage and pipe resistance represents electrical resistance. Knowledge often fails to transfer because people focus on surface features rather than underlining principles. Students who learned solving a tumor problem using converging rays couldn't apply the same solution to an analogous fortress problem. They fixated on tumors versus fortresses, rather than recognizing the common structure. Providing numerous examples helps students recognize deep patterns. Having students compare different examples proves particularly effective. An English teacher might help students understand irony by examining examples from Oedipus Rex, Romeo and Juliet, and Othello, guiding them to identify the common pattern, characters making decisions without crucial information the audience possesses. Through varied concrete instances, students gradually build mental models flexible enough to recognize abstract principles in novel situations. Practice overcomes our working memory bottleneck. We can only hold 4 to 7 pieces of information simultaneously. By making mental processes automatic, practice frees cognitive resources for higher level thinking. Skilled readers process words instantly, letting working memory focus on meaning rather than decoding. Students who've memorized math facts perform better on complex problems because their working memory focuses on strategy, not calculations. Automaticity develops only through repetition. A pianist must practice scales until movements become automatic before tackling complex pieces. Students who took only one algebra course gradually forgot what they learned, while those taking advanced math retained algebra knowledge perfectly even 50 years later, not from superior intelligence, but from ongoing practice reinforcing fundamental concepts. Focus practice on processes needing automaticity, the fundamental building blocks used repeatedly. Spacing practice over days or weeks proves far more effective than cramming, creating enduring memories while reducing boredom. The goal isn't mindless repetition, but strategic practice, transforming effortful procedures into automatic processes, liberating mental resources for genuine thinking. Traditional science education, textbooks, lectures, predictable labs, doesn't reflect authentic scientific practice. Real scientists conduct experiments with unknown outcomes and interpret surprising results. Many educators believe students should engage in these authentic practices, but cognitive science reveals a fundamental problem. Students can't immediately think like experts because cognition fundamentally changes with expertise. Experts overcome working memory limitations through organized background knowledge and automaticity. Chess experts group pieces by strategic relationships rather than proximity. Physics experts categorize problems by underlying principles rather than surface features. This abstract thinking allows experts to ignore irrelevant details and recognize deep problem structures. Experts have also automatized routine procedures through extensive practice, freeing mental space for productive self-talk, generating hypotheses, and testing understanding. Novices can't do this because basic procedures already tax their working memory. The path to expertise is disappointingly simple but demanding: practice. Studies show the best violinists accumulated almost 50% more practice hours by age 20 than merely good violinists. Rather than expecting students to think like scientists, help them develop deep understanding of existing theories. As Emerson noted, every artist was first an amateur. Students learn at different speeds, but this doesn't mean accepting limitations. Americans typically view intelligence as fixed genetics, while Eastern cultures see it as malleable through effort. These beliefs profoundly affect behavior. Fixed mindset students avoid challenges and quit after setbacks, while growth mindset students embrace difficulties and persist. Praise shapes these beliefs powerfully. Praising ability, you're smart, promotes fixed views. Praising effort, you worked hard, encourages growth. Slow learners aren't less capable. They differ in knowledge, motivation, and self-image. Catching up requires enormous effort, but is entirely possible. Foster growth by praising processes, not innate ability. Acknowledge persistence and responsibility-taking. Explicitly teach that intelligence develops through effort, sharing stories about how geniuses achieved through hard work. The most influential teachers set high standards while conveying belief in students' ability to meet them, avoiding praise for mediocre work, which communicates lowered expectations. Your students aren't fixed points on an intelligence spectrum. They're travelers on journeys of different lengths, moving at different paces. Teaching ultimately asks, "Will you join me on this difficult but transformative journey?" The answer depends not on making the path easier, but on making the destination worth reaching.